I think we've all heard this gospel passage, this parable of Jesus, many times in our lives. And I have always enjoyed with parables working through the exercise of figuring out what people in a parable or what elements in a parable represent what. And this is one that typically we think about ourselves being the seed that's being scattered to see what kind of fruit we bear. But I have discovered really a different way of looking at this parable. And I would like to share that with you. I think it is really a story not about the sower, the parable of the sower, but it's the parable of the four soils. And the topic is, what is the condition of the soil that the seeds are cast upon? So when we're looking at these different elements in the parable, one is the sower. And I propose to you, the sower is Jesus. He is sowing seed. And the seed, it says in verse 19, is the word of the kingdom. And that's what Jesus came to proclaim. He came to proclaim Christian truth. What is the message of the relationship that God wants with us, that Jesus came to be a model of? And what is the soil? The soil is what the word finds when it falls. And so the soil becomes a symbol, I think, of what is our openness. What is our openness to the Christian truth that Jesus is sowing? Okay, so if we look at the parable from that context, we see that there were four cases described, and the seed out of three of those cases produced no fruit. This wasn't a problem with the sower not doing the sowing right. It wasn't a problem of the quality of the seed. It was the problem of the condition of the soil, the condition of the openness of the soil to receive those seeds. So what Jesus is teaching us is that to bear fruit in our lives and to affect other lives, we need to understand this teaching Jesus is giving in this parable about the quality of soil. And I suggest to you, it's not that one of us is a rocky place and another one is a path and another one is weeds. I propose to you that every one of us has all four of those soils mixed up in us. So it's a challenge for us to realize when we are facing those different aspects of our openness. So the first one is on the path. And some days I feel like I'm too busy for God. There are days I've felt that I was too busy for church. There are days that I've felt weighed down by the conflict that I see happening in different branches of the Episcopal Church and in the Anglican Communion and in the worldwide Christian church and in humankind. There are times I feel weighed down by those. I see times that there are more judgments made than love being given by churchgoers. I've seen people hurt by people who call themselves Christians. Well, for the times that we realize that our spiritual life is like that beaten down path that's been trod over so many times that there's no life left in it, it's just like a rock underneath us, we can decide to step off the path for a while. Right, we can decide to strike out on some new ground that will give us a fresh new time with God. We can give ourselves a chance to let God come out of us. God lives in us. How do we give God a chance to come out from us? When I was part of a diocesan team from El Camino Real that went to Tanzania, I looked at my notes. It was 2011. I can't believe it was 6 years ago. But anyways, it was. And in one day, thank you for the. Yeah, we're going to try a multimedia sermon here. This is a picture as I got off the plane in Tanzania. And people were waving branches. They were dancing. They were singing. I have to tell you, all the years that I traveled all over the world for my engineering job, I never had that when I came home to the San Jose airport. There were never people waving palm branches and singing songs and dancing over the fact that I had arrived back home. Well, while I was there, we ended up spending one day out of the couple of weeks that we were there. One day, we visited 13 parishes in the Diocese of Western Tanganyika. And in every one of those churches, there were between 20 and 50 people who were singing and dancing and waving branches at each of those spots that we went to. And I found out later on that some of them had been waiting for 4 hours or more for us to arrive because there was such bad planning. You know, it's sort of like Tanzania time. It's sort of like Hawaiian time, you know. It'll just happen when it happens. Well, that's sort of what Tanzania time is. And these folks were not put off by that. They were not discouraged by that. They had even prepared food for us. At each of those 13 parishes, there was a meal waiting. And what I saw was them filled with joy, filled with excitement, filled with gratitude that we were there, that we would take the time during our visit to Tanzania to be in their parish. And what I saw there was God being very firmly planted in those people. It actually blew me away. It took me over a year to not cry when I described how it felt inside, about the way that we were received. So what works for you when life feels too busy for God? There are things we can do. There are decisions we can make. There are actions we can take to recognize, hey, when I'm too busy for God, I'm too busy. And I need to change things. And they had, you know, something I learned in Tanzania, there's only potable water in specific areas of that diocese, and some people would have to walk several hours to get to that water supply. So they'd walk a couple hours to it, a couple hours back, in order to have water to cook with so they wouldn't get sick. And so in the middle of that, they made sure they came to greet us with palm branches and dancing and song. Wow. They picked a different path. On the rocky ground was another place that seed landed, and this is a case of shallow planting. You and I can fall in love with, and I do love, vestments and candle stands and incense and Sanctus bells and all those things. But if that's not matched with a depth of faith that will sustain us, then we're not going to have the base that we need to handle difficult problems when they hit. We need to commit ourselves to building that base, building that foundation, so we're not basing our faith life on rocky ground. When we recognize times that our spiritual roots are shallow, and that our new shoots of new thoughts about God are feeling fragile, we need to clean out the rocks. We need to add Miracle-Gro to our spiritual soil. We can join a Bible study. We can buy a really good study Bible to really dig more deeply into Scripture. We can listen to inspirational audio messages. We can put K-Love on our radio when we're driving around so we hear some great inspirational music. On that topic of inspirational music, I need to share another experience in Tanzania. You know, when we went to these villages, they may have 200 or 300 people who live in these villages, and the church is right in the middle of town. It's a huge building with no electricity, often with a dirt floor, no cushions in the pews, and no electricity. But outside, there would be, on the left of this picture, you can see huge, like 3-foot-high, 4-foot-high speakers. And they had gas-driven generators, and they had big power amps, and they would be playing music and singing at the top of their lungs. And the speakers were not aimed into the church. The speakers were aimed towards the village. And so when we would get at these parishes, there'd be maybe 10 or 20 people there, and within 20 minutes, there'd be 75 or 80 or 90 people gathered because they'd hear this music and they'd go, oh, something's going on at church and I don't want to miss what it is. And it was not rocky ground. What works for you when you are working on your spiritual roots? Think about how that feels when you feel like maybe you don't have the roots of the depth that you want. And think about what it takes to build that, being in community, being in Bible study, listening to great music. The next, the third one is seeds among thorns. And this represents when we try to balance our being God-centered, but trying to balance that against also being career-centered and being money-centered and being house-centered and being gadget-centered. And that's my weakness. I love gadgets, so being gadget-centered. We have 20 balls in the air all the time. Yep, oh, good, you've got that graphic. 20 balls in the air all the time, and the church is just another one of the balls in the air. We have good intentions for our spirituality, but those intentions are only going to work out when time allows. In those times when our spiritual life is being choked by all of those distractions of life, we need to shed load. And it's really okay to shed load. In fact, I think it's essential to shed load, and it's countercultural. I see so many parents of these preschool kids who have their kids booked 24/7. And I think that's wrong. And it's because we don't decide where the priorities should be. I think it's a priority for us to decide if we need to drop off a committee or resign from a group or saying no thank you to an invitation or to find a different way to meet so that we can choose our priorities. I need to share an example that just happened yesterday. I've been asked to marry a couple who were former members of the parish that I had in San Jose. And he's in the Marines in San Diego. She lives in San Jose, and I'm in Hollister. And we're trying to figure out how to make all that happen, you know, because I need to do, by canon law, premarital counseling. So how am I going to make that happen? Well, we ended up having one face-to-face meeting when he was here over the 4th of July weekend. And we had our first meeting yesterday by Facebook video chat. So on my laptop in my office at home, there's a window with the groom, there's a window with the bride, and there's a little picture-in-a-picture kind of box down in the corner of me. And the three of us spent an hour talking about the significance of a Christian marriage versus a civil marriage and what the difference is and why I feel blessed that they've decided on a Christian marriage. And the groom said, boy, this is technology at its best, isn't it? So we were spread all over the state, but we found a way to make it work because we figured, we knew that was a priority. What do you do to ensure that your faith life is the priority in your life, not just Sunday morning? So we get to the good soil. That's when we cherish being in God's presence, we celebrate it, and we incorporate it into the thought process for everything we do. Well, that's what Paul was getting at in his passage this morning from Romans, that we make the decision to live according to the Spirit. And when we do that, we're under the rule of God. And that decision brings renewal of our life. God's Spirit comes to dwell in us. And when that happens, we can't settle for living in the flesh. But instead, everything we do is about how can we live towards being in the Spirit. So using the idea of soil from this parable of Jesus today, you and I can prepare to make our own spiritual soil, our openness to God's word, so that God has an opportunity to thrive in our life. I think the lesson for today is for us to check the status of our spiritual soil. One more thing, one more way that we can change the spiritual soil that God finds in us that I'd like to propose is it's not about us just providing the openness for God's seed to grow. It's for us to also be people who cast out the seed. We're the seed casters too, not just the recipients, but we also cast out the seeds. And we do that by random acts of Christian kindness. You know, in the secular world, there's random acts of kindness. I think there are random acts of Christian kindness. And an example, I talked about at 8 o'clock. This is proven true so many times. It just blows me away, really, that for a while, I found myself getting angry when I'd walk up to the door of McDonald's for my morning coffee of a senior coffee at McDonald's, right? 56 cents or whatever it is. And so as I'd walk up to the door, somebody would get to the door in front of me and they'd just let it swing shut right in my face. And I'd go, "Rrr." Well, that happened to me enough, I decided, you know what, I'm going to attack this a different way, because just being angry is clearly not changing their actions. So let's see if I can do something different. So when I went to McDonald's, if I saw anybody around me, even if they're a half of a parking lot away, I would open the door and wait for them and have them go first, have them be ahead of me in line. You know, that cost me 20 seconds maybe or 30 seconds of getting my cup of coffee. Well, the person behind saw what I did and they opened the door for the person behind them. And the person behind them saw what happened, and they opened the door and left the door open. I saw that go to about 3, 4, 5 people. Time and time again, I've done this. Try it. It's amazing to see how the seed spreads when you plant it. When you plant it. And so there are ways for us to do that where we're not caring about the outcome of the seed growing. You know, if nobody did that behind me, it wouldn't matter. I did what I felt I wanted to do with this door at the McDonald's. We should be flinging these seeds everywhere. It doesn't make sense to a farmer to do it that way. They have to be very careful. But these are God's seeds. They're special seeds. And where they land is God's concern. It's not our concern. So we should be flinging the seeds of faith everywhere. So I pray that God's seed, living and growing in you, that God will use it to change the world. Amen. Amen.